I hate to run. I hate running. I've been an athlete my whole life. I used to actually teach aerobics for years and years, but I hate running. I hate running. And my sister started running, and so I was a little competitive, and I thought, well, I want to start running. So I started looking online, and I saw things that were like 30 days from a couch potato to a 5K. And I thought, there is no way I'm going to be ready in 30 days to do a 5K. But I started, and I started training. And lo and behold, after training multiple days, being very consistent, after 3 months, some of you may see this as a very simple task, but for me, it was challenging. I ran the 5K without stopping, crossed the finish line. I don't care what time it was. I made it. I made it. And here's the thing. Thank you. Thank you. But the point that I want to make is if I would have tried to go to that 5K without training, I would have never made it. There is something to be said about training. And here's the thing. If you know anything about the Bible, we are promised that disaster and crisis are going to increase as the world is having birthing pains for Jesus to return. Glory will increase too, but so will disaster. And if the Lord tarries, how will we respond when a third of the earth burns up? How will we respond? This, what we're dealing with right now, is small in the scope of that. And what I hear the Lord saying, that it's time to train our hands for battle and our fingers for war before greater tribulations and plagues take place. Just like I needed to take the time to train for that 5K, we need to take time to practice hearing God and following His direction in times of chaos. I know all of you know how to follow God. I know many of you have been Christians for decades, and you've learned how to hear the voice of the Lord. But have we learned how to hear the voice of the Lord when chaos is surrounding us? When everything around us, especially if you work out in the medical field, if you're working in schools, and I'm sure many other places, it is everywhere. Can you hear the voice of the Lord in the static is what I want to know. So we need to take time now to use this, and I don't mean to minimize it, but I do believe it's a blip on the radar. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this will usher in something that I don't know, but let's practice now. And that's what we want to do. Even though I know that we are a church here, I've always looked at the way previously Worldview Community as an equipping center to equip us to be able to go out. Now, at the Way, we believe that according to Ephesians 4, which we have spent months and months talking about Ephesians 4, that it's the saints that equip the saints. Through the voices of the apostolic, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the shepherd, all of those voices together, each perspective brings clarity, not the loudest voice, not the leadership's voice, the person holding the mic, but all voices. Each voice is so needy to be truly a mature church. That's what we hear in Ephesians 4. And mostly, when it comes to things according to the church, we mostly have heard from the shepherd heart to care and provide care for those in need when disaster strikes. Now, that is not wrong, but it is not complete. We actually have a little history in this, Rich and I, which I thank the Lord because it's in the history and in those moments that God trains us like we're talking. And you may have heard the story before, but while we lived in Orlando, for those of you that were paying attention to national news, we were awoken on a Sunday morning to hear that a lone gunman came in and shot 49 people at the Pulse nightclub in downtown Orlando. Now, this was the largest mass shooting at the time. So we woke up, came to church. We reacted the best we knew. I knew churches all over the city were praying. We were part of a small body like this. The next day, somehow, I don't know how, Rich and I were invited to sit around a very large conference table, larger than I've ever seen, of local leaders, including, for those of you that know, Stephen Strang, who is the the head, the director of Charisma Magazine. He was there. What a fella. So we're around this table, and they're asking these questions. God, what should we be doing in this crisis in our city? All eyes are on Orlando, just as all eyes were on St. Louis during the shooting up north years and years ago. The nation's eyes were on this city. The nation's eyes were now, here we were, knowing that situation from our hometown down in Orlando, all eyes are going to be on Orlando. So we start hearing from these leaders. There's about 8 or 10 of us. And of course, Rich and I are nobodies. And we're hearing these guys say, okay, here's what we need to do. It's always hot in Orlando. I don't care if it's winter, you know, so I can't remember exactly the time of year at this point. But the ideas were, let's buy a bunch of water bottles and let's go as people are standing, waiting for their loved ones, waiting to hear what's going on. They're standing in the sun. Let's provide maybe some umbrellas for shade and water. And Rich and I were looking at each other and we're like, that's really a good idea. But what is God saying? What is the Lord? What does God want to do in this city right now? What should we be doing? Hey, guys, I just have an idea. I'm sorry. My name's Stacy, and this is Richard, and we're from a little church. Chip Kelly is our pastor. And hey, we just have this idea. What if we started gathering together in groups and started praying and asking God how we could hear his voice and release his strategy over our city while everybody's watching? And they said this. So when we get the water bottles, we need to gather them and we'll distribute them through all these churches. And they totally dismissed us. but it showed us that the church in general, which is the heart of God to give out water bottles. I'm not saying that that was wrong, but it was one voice. Where was the voice of the evangelist saying, here's how we can reach these people right now? Because I tell you, and I'm not going to go in this whole long story, but I do want to tell you, we were praying and we knew we need to show these people that Christians love them, because this was a homosexual nightclub. And Rich and I were praying one time. We're like, how can we get to this community and tell them we love them? We're just two little people. But we found out later that it started this whole movement within the homosexual community about love will win. Like that kind of started in Orlando. But it wasn't the God love. It was acceptance for whatever you're doing love. So God had an agenda, but the enemy took it, twisted it, and now God wasn't getting the glory. So we learned, what's that? Love wins, yeah. So we learned from that moment that when tragedy starts to strike a city or a nation, we want to stop and pray and ask God to tell us through all five of these voices what he's saying. And in the middle of that, we'll probably find some threads of what he might want us to do. So the other thing I want to tell you guys, because my voice is such a strong voice and so is Richie, and I felt bad last week that the first thing that came out of our mouth was this kind of talk, the way I'm talking now. We need to do this and da-da-da-da. I'm just one voice and I tend to be apostolic and Rich tends to be prophetic where it's like, line yourself up right now with what God's doing. But I want to tell you those in this room that are in the middle of struggling with fear, because of whatever reason, I don't want you to feel condemned if you feel apprehensive. It's a normal reaction. Even the disciples in the boat in the storm when the waves were crashing had Jesus sitting right there. They were a little nervous. Jesus in the flesh was sitting right there with them. But he did stand up and he did calm the waves. But he also said to them, he exhorted them, why are you so afraid? Don't you have any faith? It's an exhortation for us at this time to have faith. We have to fight for peace, you guys, not for ourselves. We have to get above that. We need to fight for our peace. We need to stand on Psalms 91 that I keep hearing every pastor say. We need to stand on that. Here's my apostolic. Not just for us, but so we can manage the waves so we can help others. Okay, we got to get above it. So, here's what we've decided to do, and it's a little clunky, I know, but we're just trying to follow God in this. I would like right now, if I could, to invite the current elder team to come, and why don't you guys just sit along this, along the stage instead of bringing your chair up. Come on up now while this is the current elder team, and I want you to know that I'm not having them come up here because they're smarter than anybody in this room. Okay? It's not because they know something more than you. But here's the thing. We want to start a conversation, and so we want to kind of limit. We want to limit what it is that we're, so that we don't go. We could go for hours and hours and hours, okay? So we have this group up here, and we've just said, I told them, if you don't have anything when you come in, that's fine. But if something, maybe something's going to spark your ideas here. The best way I know how to compile these ideas is on Facebook, on our group. So if you don't have Facebook and you have an idea, you can email it to somebody and we'll put it on Facebook just so we can keep things in order. I'll explain that again, but I just wanted you to know we want to hear from you too, but we just want to start a conversation. And I've asked these guys to try to look at this whole situation from their particular fivefold voice that is their highest. Because we want to hear from the teacher. We want to hear from the evangelist. How they, one, maybe it'll be how they are dealing with the fear around them, the chaos around them. And it also could be an idea of the way to get out of the four walls and to advance the kingdom during this season. Okay, so I'm not really sure what we're going to be talking about up here, but we're just going to kind of have a panel. So if you guys just want to kind of just take it all in, consider what's being said, and if you have an idea, start jotting it down. We probably will not have time today for everyone to share, so we just wanted to start this, and then we'll continue if we have to, okay? Is that clear? Okay, did you want to start anything? Okay, sorry, who wants to go first? What do you... Okay.
So I guess the two sides of, like, because you want us to speak for us, and then for what to do, I guess?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like I'm usually more teacher apostolic, but I guess it kind of just depends on the situation, because I feel like how I've responded to this has been more shepherding. For starters, for me, we were sitting upstairs on the couch with Rich like in December or January, and I was just like, I feel like God's telling me like March is going to be crazy. And I was like, I have no clue what that means, but I'm just feeling that. And then we just kind of left it at that. And then like January came and everyone was freaking out about like World War III and everything. And I was like, I mean, this isn't March, so we'll see. So when all of this came around, I feel like I was reminded of that. And I just felt like God was going before me to let me know to not be afraid. And so I've just kind of just been standing on that of like, I'm just not going to be afraid about it. That's for me personally. I was reading something online, which I'll just share. I feel like it's a lot more shepherd, but we've been out and about this weekend, and I've been actually utilizing some of these, and I've just noticed that it's actually really been touching people's hearts as we've been out. So it's called, like, Loving Your Neighbor During This Pandemic. It gives a couple things. It says, run errands for elderly, care for those who are sick, tip generously all in service industries, donate goods to food pantries and shelters, write letters to prisoners, check in with friends who struggle with anxiety, take time for self-care, organize support for single mothers, call and encourage those who are in self-quarantine, wash your hands and sanitize your face, share only confirmed responsible info. The info one's obviously pretty huge. Like, I'm typically one that likes to research, so I've just been not talking about it because I feel like there's so much out there. But as we've been out at restaurants, I've been noticing since I read that, like, all of the servers they've had to completely change the way they serve because no one's allowed to touch anything now. Like, they have to bring everything to the table. They have to clean, like, do so much more. And so while I've been out, I've just been thanking them, like, and saying, like, I understand it's really tough for you guys right now, and it's probably frustrating. Like, thanks for doing that. And all of the servers that I've talked to have, like, kind of stopped, and, like, I could see their attitude change a little bit of, like, being acknowledged. And so just little things like that. That's, I mean, I think it's more shepherding. But people are afraid, but people that are working still are probably more frustrated because it's just adding to them. And so I've just been trying to be one that acknowledges the frustration for them. And instead of being frustrating, like, oh, the lines are so much longer, everything's taking longer, like, just instead of being a burden to them, just being more understanding. So.
I'm just going to sit. As one that's more in the prophetic realm, I'm going to see pictures, of course, or hear things. So I already shared the part about how, God, I just saw him going before this body of believers to kind of work. I always feel like we are a training camp. Do you guys feel that way sometimes? Like this body of believers were a training camp. But that run with the horses thing, it just was, you know, it's that book that we're doing on Sunday mornings. It's a very small little group of that's doing that book. But I'm telling you, it's revolutionizing, not just about, you know, if you can't run with the footmen, how do you expect to run with the horses? It is that, but it's past that because it's about the life of Jeremiah. His, no matter what he faced, and he faced personal and national calamities, okay? Jeremiah did. But everything about him was father-directed. It wasn't self-directed, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? How am I going to, what am I going to, who am I going to? Nothing, I. It was always God-directed, always. And we've only been through a few chapters, not even half the book, and I can't get away from that thread in there. And then I'm reading the book of Jeremiah, and I'm like, Jeremiah didn't talk about himself, except at the very beginning when he says, what about me? I'm just a youth. You know, what do you mean? And then he realized God said, and everything else from there was God-directed. So I just want to, I think, encourage us that way, that we continue to always stay God-directed. And then I had a dream that I am not going to go into, but I'm just going to share a snippet. It was about faith. And I'm telling you, God's about to blow the cap off this thing. That's how I feel, you know, like this thing about faith and about the church in general. But one of the things I was talking to Stacy, I think, about earlier this week, how God runs before us, right? The book started about running with the horses. Guys, we are running with the horses. You know, when things are breaking loose in the world, I'm encouraged about, you know, the Bible. Jesus himself was very clear that when panic becomes widespread, you know, just know that it's the end of the age. We're entering. We've been saying that for a while, but, you know, can't you just see it even increasing? Like we're entering the end of this age and into his return. So, you know, we have to, in my estimation, my brain is like, I gotta keep myself right. If something's off kilter, get it fixed. You know, because we want to run well. We want to hear him say, you know, that you finish the race well. I want to hear that for me. And I know probably everybody out here does. But the thing that I was talking to Stacy about, because so, you know, we want to be a glorious church. But the other thing that struck me was, so we were doing the book. We're also like preparing for Passover and our Passover service thing that we're going to be doing. And I was just like, it is so God to just go before us, right before us, and then we run with him, and then we bring others, and they run with us. This thing is got momentum when we keep our eyes, like Jeremiah, focused on him. So I was thinking about the Passover. We know what happened. You know, it's the Passover lamb. They put the blood on the doorposts, you know, and they got brought out of Egypt. But what I just was like, oh my gosh, all the plagues, all the pestilence, all the stuff, it was coming down, you guys. But the people that were saved were under the blood. You know, and so we just have to have faith that, and I don't mean, oh, I believe it because the Bible says it. I mean faith. Faith that'll move a mountain. And it doesn't take much, that of a mustard seed. You know, but if we are truly believers in him, truly believe what he says. We just gotta just continue to press forward. We can't let this slow us down so we only walk with the footmen. We were called to run with the horses. And so I just, this whole Passover thing and then what's happening and, you know, it just, these are not coincidences. God is setting us up because he wants a group of believers, and it's not just us. I mean, there are pockets across the world. This thing is global. So I just want to encourage you guys just to lean into him. Just lean even harder than you've ever leaned. And then there was one other little snippet thing that two actually. One was, I've been in the healthcare field. You guys, this thing is real. It's real. People are getting sick, okay? People are dying. People are getting sick. But We don't have to run with the mass hysteria. We need to be that calm in the storm for those people. That being said, I'm just going to read my beloved son's Facebook post. How many of you guys know Anthony? He's been here. You know, we did that conquering addictions thing with him. A lot of you guys did. But this is what he did. I'm just so, you're just like, oh man, I'm proud of you. You know, you're a good kid. It says, he just says last night, if you're feeling fear, anxiety, unsure, feeling crazy all around you, just encourage you, reach out to me. I mean, that is what we need to be doing. Not just sitting here like, ooh, we're under the blood. Oh, I got faith. I'm not going to get it. Oh, my family. But reach out to people. People are really freaking out. They don't have what we have to lean on. He says, I had the story of a lifetime, and he's talking about what he went through and how he was just wrapped up emotionally and anxiety ridden. I mean, he had himself in a bad place. And he says, if you don't know my story, you know, how it's played out, reach out. I'll gladly tell you, but I want to walk with you. And that's what we need to be doing. So I just want to encourage you guys, lean into him and reach out.
I just wanted to follow up Robin because she was talking about faith, and that was just the one thing that kind of stood out to me. And it's so much like what she said. It's not a working up. If our faith is low, if panic is consuming us and our faith is low, we look on him. We just get absorbed by him, and our faith increases. It was so funny because Richie was walking back towards the back, and I saw his shirt, and all I could see was the fear word, and I was trying to look at it. So then he pulled it out for me. But really, I'm telling you, so I'm a picture person. No, stand up again, sorry. I'm a picture person. But see, Bruce Lee was so ready. He was so full of what he knew he was, that fear was for the other guy. That's the place of faith for us to be. We're so full of who we know we are that it doesn't even, like, we don't even have to consider the faith because it's so there. We're so full. And so if we're not, how do we get full? The word, his presence, is practicing his presence. And that's what I kept hearing the Lord saying this morning. Again, I mean, I hear him say it a lot to me because I get so absorbed by everything around me that I don't practice his presence. And so I just want to say that again. And really, let's face it, in America, we've not had to be the Christians that love not our life to the end, but this is giving us a practicing of that. Yep. That's who we are. We are to love our life, not I'm saying it wrong. Right. And so, again, what's it matter? Our life is in his hands. So what's it really matter what comes our way?
I think maybe faith might actually be something that is rising up. One of the things that I guess is more the bent that I come from is from the evangelistic, from being a declarer. And as, you know, it says that, my mind just went blank about faith. My mind, help me. About word, without the word, women, I don't know why my file drawer just closed up. No, about faith that without the word of God, faith comes by hearing. Okay, it's like I have the word in me, but sometimes the little file drawer gets jammed, you know? And so it's like, thank you, we need each other. That's important here. See, this is a time that isolation is probably not a good thing, okay? So if you're bound, you know, fear can bind you up and be isolated, okay? But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by his word. And so we have a situation where, again, it's opportunity for the word of God that's, it's deep, you know, his word has been deepened within our heart. We've been sowing in that area, you know, before him, and now is opportunity. But from the place of being one, that we are carriers of good news. I was reading the scriptures about the gospel, okay? But the original word for that is really from a Hebrew word that is barsora. Anyway, I'll get it one of these days, because the Lord's having me go down a road to understand what he says about certain words that we've thought many times about a certain word, and we get it in us, but I want to go to the original of what that word, because when Isaiah is talking about how beautiful are the feet of those who go on the mountains and bring glad tidings, is the same thing that we get into, you know, he talks about it in Romans again, you know, that about how are they going to hear but without a preacher, because he says the Isaiah scripture again about how beautiful are the feet of those that go on the mountains that bring glad tidings. And we have this opportunity now to go on mountains, to go on the places. I mean, these are real places where people have, this thing wants to have an elevated place. It is vying. The virus looks like a crown. So I'm telling you, it is vying to have a voice. It has a voice. But the thing is those that carry the gift to be able to declare and release the voice of the Lord to the mountain, to go to the mountain where the of glad tidings, of good news. See, the good news is the entire word of God. It is the whole counsel of God. The good news that we carry out of our mouths causes there to be a realignment in people's individual hearts, into a city, into a nation, into the world. Because the words that go out of our mouths bring in good tidings, which is sometimes we think, oh, it's only about preaching Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It is the whole, it is everything. We declare the word of the Lord. We declare the power of his word. So maybe from your standpoint of evangelism, it's only been from a place of I have to go to the lost. But I'm telling you that it's not just the lost. There, we have the bride. The bride needs, if she has lost her footing and she has gone to places that she doesn't need to go, then we carry glad tidings. The word of God that needs to proceed out of our mouth that will shift and cause fear to turn to faith. Because faith comes by the word of God. And we carry the word of God to individuals that are on their journey. They're the farthest way from him. We carry glad tidings to them. And we carry glad tidings to those that even know him. Because sometimes people get turned around. And I even think within that Hebrew word, it possibly could mean that, you know, you might be in one direction, but God redirects you because of the glad tiding that comes forth, that you might have been walking one way because you forgot. You forgot, what did he say? And then when you say it, then you realign yourself to go, that's where I should be going. And maybe that mountain is not the mountain I should be on, but the mountain of God. Because there is a mountain. But I'm telling you, this thing needs to be brought into the correct place of where it's going to bow. It needs to bow. And so I just want, and I believe evangelists by nature are exhorters. And so it is time for the evangelist to arise, to begin exhorting, to start declaring what the Lord's saying and be the voice, because we're, you know what? All the people that are in media, I think, are evangelists. Okay. Because they carry a voice. I mean, in all different realms, those that have this gift, that this voice has to be heard. And I'm just crying out, God, right now, that you would raise up the evangelists. Raise up those that carry the voice and the place to be able to carry the wisdom of God. They don't have to know it's scripture verse. They don't have to know that the voice, the wisdom of God going forth is like an exact thing, but it is the wisdom of God, nonetheless, that God would raise up those that carry a voice of glad tidings right now, because that what needs to be heard. So if I think, if anything else comes to mind, the Lord will stir it up. But I'm all stirred up, so.
I don't know. I'm a different kind of evangelist. I don't know.
Well, that scripture about fear, I mean, about faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God, same thing with fear. Fear cometh by hearing. Yes. We need to limit the media. Yes. That's the voice of the enemy.
Yes. So you're a teacher?
I'm a teacher, yes.
A teacher. So, I just want, can I say this for
sorry. Joe hardly gets on the mic and then I take it from him. I want you to see something. I want you to see how the body is working right now. I just want to stop. I want you to pause. And I want you to pay attention. The fact that all these voices, Joe is a teacher. He's trying to tell you something from, that's what he's thinking of. He's thinking like a teacher. You may be thinking this way. If you don't think the way Susie just thought, it's good. And I think you agree with it and you're leaning forward. But pay attention to what God is pinpointing you in this season, because he's going to, everybody has a different voice. And in the middle of it, different temperaments too and personalities. But what I want you to hear right now, Joe's talking from a teacher, right? He's trying to teach something to you guys. So I want you to just be paying attention. So I want you to see this. This is a learning experience. That, what do you call it? When you homeschool, you use object lesson. This is an object lesson. So watch it, because we're learning how to function as the body of Christ, okay? So back to Joe. Sorry, Joe.
That scripture comes to mind. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. This, you're what you are, it exudes from you. If, you know, I was once told, you're a leader when you look behind you and somebody's following. So your gifting comes out of you. It's the way God made us. But back to fear. Fear is trying to rob our joy. We need to limit that media. The media is going on sensationalism. Oh, Lord, you are our sensation. Yes, you, that thing, that's like Susie said, that thing has a voice, and we've allowed it to come in and steal our joy. The 91 is my go-to psalm, because I was introduced to that when I was on my in my deathbed, but it wasn't my deathbed, cancer. And it says, he is under the shadow, he who dwells under the shadow of the Almighty is actually in his presence. You know, at the end of that psalm, it says that because you've put your love on me and you know my name, I will lift you up and honor you. And at the end of it, it says, I will show you long life and my salvation. The word of God. You got fear coming in? Go to the word of God. Go to his presence. You know, Susie and I were learning Hebrew. Just one word, hallelujah. And the word Hebrew, in the word hallelujah in Hebrew, it's a little man with his arms raised up, and then it's got like two upside down staffs.
In the original little language.
But if you read it like Greeks from left to right, it's the hooks. And God is hooking you in to praise him. That's what we need to do now. When fear comes in, we need to praise him.
Yeah, like the little picture that he was showing. Because we really, in Hebrew, you read from right to left. And so when the guy's standing there with his arms up, the problem is that you're not, when you're saying, I praise you, but yet you're not walking in his in accordance to his rod, you're not really praising him. So you could say, I'm praising you, praising you, praising you, praising you, praising you, praising you, all day long. You could say it till the sun goes down, the sun comes up, but if you're not in obedience to him and his ways, that hallelujah means nothing. So he's calling us. He's saying, now is the time. Now is the time.
To dwell in the secret place.
Yeah, because you're wanting to be able to, when you say words coming out of your mouth, you can't just get away with saying hallelujah. Hallelujah don't mean nothing. It means nothing unless you're walking in obedience with him. One doesn't work without the other. So he's giving us time now. Get things in order. Get things in order, because we things are going to just escalate. So he's saying, this is sweet, you guys. This is sweet. You got something, Kim?
Okay. Okay. So I'm a teacher. I probably don't have to say that because once I start talking and I have notes, because I don't have a file drawer that opens very well anymore. So I had to
There's
put
your
it
file
down.
Drawer.
So when I was younger, definitely I would say that teacher prophet was strong with me because I would say things to people like, look, you just need to get it together. Get over this. Stop being fearful. You know the truth. And I would blast people until they believed the truth. It might have not really been true. It might have been my my perspective of the truth, but I wanted everybody to think like me. And I don't ever do that anymore, do I?
No.
But I feel like now shepherd is stronger than prophet with my teacher because of some of the things. I don't know. You guys can assess it because I'm trying to listen to everybody else and then think about what I was going to say. But the first thing that came to my mind as I was trying to look at this, and I felt like, okay, so this specific crisis wasn't, maybe I misunderstood the assignment, was not supposed to be our focus for what we were thinking of how we would respond. So I tried to zoom out and think like future. And I was going to be funny and say, okay, think zombie apocalypse, just because I thought that would be funny. Where you're, you know, like you think, what is going to happen in that case? But then also thinking hurricane, tornado. While this is all going on, a tornado wiped out a big section of Nashville, and they're dealing with that. None of those people are thinking coronavirus that day, you know? So whatever crisis is in the moment can't be the thing that dictates how we respond. There are nuances we're going to put to it, you know, like, okay, we're not going to prepare for a hurricane. We're going to prepare for a tornado, you know, that kind of thing. But what is the overall response that we need to be prepared to have? And I love that Robin said, we're a training camp. We need to, okay, this is my get it together thing. We need to stop responding like the world responds. We need to grow up into the place that we're supposed to be in as believers so that we can reach back and help somebody else up. We cannot be the ones hanging by our fingernails crying out. And it's just, that's the fact if we're going to be effective. But in all of that, the first scripture that I felt like the Lord gave me in this was Ephesians 4, especially verse 15, speak the truth in love. We have our own little object lesson going on right now about going to lunch with our family. And someone expressed some concern about going out into a restaurant. And the gut response can be, I don't have any fear. I know where I'm going. One of our kids said something to us about being concerned about it. I'm like, bring it. I know where I'm going. But it can't be about me. It can't be about me. None of this can be about me. And I think that's where we have to be really careful. It's one thing to stand in my faith and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And what does each of those things represent? And how do I help you have a spirit of power? Power over this, of love, a sound mind. A lot of this response is foolishness. I cannot get a pack of toilet paper, and I legitimately ran out.
That's our crisis. That's our crisis.
Who are these foolish people buying all the toilet paper? No, I just, you know, how do I be that to someone else? And then in the practical of it, as a teacher person, if I'm looking at a crisis that's about to happen or we're preparing for future crises, we have to assess what is happening in the natural, what do we believe is happening in the spiritual realm, and that's where I feel like we press in prayer and we say, God, what are you doing? What do you want us to do? How do you direct us in this moment? And how are people reacting and feeling? Just because it's foolishness, they're reacting that way. What is causing them to react that way, and how do we go in and address that? That's the assessment of it. The assessment was figuring out what's going on. The response is formulating an action plan. We want to give instruction about the facts. I'm glad you said that, Josh. That was awesome. Because that's, you know, all the things that come across media and social media, the only thing that made any sense to me was a Stanford report that said, this is what this is. This is how it's transmitted. These are things you can do to prevent it. These are things that you can do to help other. You know, those are good practical things. We have to have that practical response. And for me, I look around the room. If we're in training and we assign duties to people. You're the hunters. You're going to be in charge of getting meat. You are the shoppers. You are going to go out and buy those things that we need. You are the medical people. You're going to be prepared to deal with medical crisis. You know, I mean, in practicality, those would be the things that I would want to be a part of, is helping assess what are our strengths and how are we going to set up our, what do you call it, your triage. Yeah, a response, but a triage center where you're gonna address the needs that people have. Using the facts, tempered with sensitivity, which is the speaking the truth in love, we address the emotional responses from the Word of God and make ourselves available. And then this is the thing that the Lord kept saying to me this morning, and I'm like, I don't understand, and I still don't really understand, so I really want to press into this. Zeal for your house is consuming me, from Psalm 69. David's reason that he said that isn't necessarily what I feel like the Lord was pressing on me, but that was the scripture reference. But I want us to figure out, what does it mean that the zeal for God's house is consuming us? It's not the structure, it's us. It's building the kingdom to me. Zeal for building the kingdom should be what consumes us, whether there's a crisis or not. So that in a crisis, if we do these other things and we have that in place, we're just prepared to do it with more intensity, to do it with more soundness of response. We don't ever want to be the panicked ones, you know? And that's where I feel like we have to be prepared ourselves and solid in our trust in what the Lord is doing, how he's doing it, and how we are to be the hands and feet of that.
Okay. I'll try to be concise. God has just put a lot of information in front of me. The world has put a lot of information in front of me too, but I've been trying to focus on what God is saying, knowing this is what we're going to do, trying to take some of that in this morning, really praying. But first off, I got to say, I'm really nervous for some reason. I don't know why. So I may try to go fast and skip something. I don't want to do that. But the only reason I'm nervous is because my parents are here. So. I know I'm loved, but I'm also gonna go to lunch with them after this, and they're gonna criticize everything I said. So they're not really gonna criticize it. They're gonna tell me what I should have said, because he's a pastor, evangelist. They've got something in them that they are dying to tell us. I can guarantee you that. But oh, good. Yeah, what are they guys? Okay, I'm good. No, I love my mom and dad. If how I said that sounded bad, it wasn't meant to be bad. I love them. They are great people. They are great, strong Christians.
Which we can tell.
Yeah, thank you. They made me. Anyway, I was going to bring up the scripture that Stacy did about the apostles or the disciples in the ship with Jesus, and the storm comes up and he's just sleeping. You know, a storm and he's sleeping. You know, they have to wake him up to say, there's a storm. I don't get how that happens, number one. But, you know, and then he rebukes the sea and everything's calm. And we'll go back to that in a minute. So when we started talking about this, I didn't want to do this right now because we're in the middle of the coronavirus. So it's all corona, corona, corona. We've had other things in our country. Abortion. How many people die? Abortion. Anybody know the number? More or less than coronavirus.
More.
Okay. More. Veteran suicide.
More.
Okay. Teen suicide. Okay. So heart disease. Cancer. Oh, my goodness. Cancer. We've kind of forgotten about all that. It's the storm is around us. Okay. This is just a wind blowing a different direction. We were listening to something this morning about some guy talking about shootings in three different towns. I didn't even remember the towns that they happened in. There's so much of that going on. Anyway, all that to say, as Christians, we can't worry about the storm around us. But, and I don't know what I am here, a shepherd, a prophet, or what, but after that story, we should read it. After he gets out of the boat and they get to dry land, they face the legion, the demons. Yeah. And Jesus lays hands on the demons. So, if we're in the middle of the storm now and we're going to get out of this, what's our next step? Yep. Where are we going? We should be getting into things, a whole spiritual storm. We're out of the physical storm. We should be walking into the physical storm. And that's what God's been telling me is, I'm trying to wake you up and tell you, you need to be more involved in this spiritual storm that's going on. It went farther. I looked at where the disciples were going, but where was Jesus going? Yeah. Jesus was going to the cross when this is all over, you know? So if we look at ourselves as Christ, you know, we're going to die sooner or later. If we're not dying for Christ, we're doing something wrong. But he died as a sacrifice for our sins so that we have eternal life. You know, death, where's your sting? I mean, that's what we're in fear about, is the sting of death, if it's natural. And Jesus has got that covered. So, on a practical standpoint, I'm a person who has been homeless. I hate to say homeless because we always had a home, but I didn't own it. I lived in people's basements. So if you're looking at financial ruin, if you're looking at financial ruin, my life is over, your focus is in the wrong place. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's fun, but I tell you what, where God took me has been great. I would do it all again. So, and not a lot of it was fun. I didn't have money sometimes. I didn't have a home sometimes. I didn't have things, but God had a plan. And I think that's what it boils down to. We all have this idea of, you know, I'm a contractor. God, work with me in my contracting business. Well, I should be saying, God, can I be a contractor today? Or what are we going to do? So even I don't think I'm walking out my Christian walk as I should be, because I live in America and I've got to do it the American way. So I really need to get on my knees and say, God, help me do that, because I know we all worry about the rat race that we live in more than we worry about actually following Christ. Maybe not all of us. Susie might not, but the rest of us.
I just wanted to add something I forgot to say when I was talking about the foolishness and the speaking the truth in love, and bringing it back to our immediate situation that's going to happen today. You know, one of the things to me is we have to be sensitive to where people are right now. We have to have an empathy for where we are. Even though we want to bring them up to a higher place, if we bash them for where they are right now and make them feel foolish, faithless, I know Christian people who are in a panic. I can't make them feel foolish for where they are. So learning how to have the discernment of what can I offer to be in a place where I look like I'm making a compromise with their emotions without compromising the truth of Jesus. And it's easy for us to say, I'm just going to use this example of a restaurant, you know, I'm not afraid of going into a restaurant. However, I could unknowingly go into that place, contract this thing, and my words to my son was, become a weapon of mass destruction. Because I can go out and expose a lot of people just by my, it could be perceived as haughtiness or, yes, rather than, you know, like the scripture that some of the weird, I shouldn't say that word, some extreme sects have taken where they pick up snakes and handle them on purpose. That's not what the scripture said. And so I'm going to go to this place where everybody's packed in really close and somebody might be exposed and just say, I don't care, I got Jesus, is not the appropriate response. And so just being careful with those things.
So first of all, I'm someone that's like just very honest with where I am. I'm not scared to say what is going on. And I will just say I'm a mess with all of this. Not super chaotic a mess, but I have probably, I don't know, I've struggled a lot with it. I definitely am someone that, I mean, my maturity level is like way underneath all these people, and they're amazing. And so when they're sharing it, I'm like, oh, I need to take that tool. I need to take that tool because I'm not there and I'm struggling with it. And I wasn't even going to share anything, but I feel like the Lord can still use us in our weaknesses. And so I just wanted to share a little bit of like my like knee-jerk response with all of this has been like, let's research it. Let's look at statistics. Let's look at the facts. Let's look at, you know, all this stuff. And it's comforting to me. That's what has been like my comfort in all of this, which is not, I don't think it's like bad, but the problem is as soon as one of those statistics change, my whole foundation is rocked and it's lost. And so that's already happened. Like, well, there's no cases in Missouri, so just relax. Then the first case was here, and I was like, oh my God, Dad, I think I have corona. And he was like, you don't, relax. And then my throat got sore, and I was like, no, I swear, I think I have it. And he was like, that's not even a symptom. And I was like, okay, you're right, that's not a symptom. And then the second it's like, well, a cough is a symptom, and that can make a sore throat. Then I've lost that foundation again because it was built on statistics and evidence instead of what the Word of God says, because this will change and the Word of God won't. And so I've been navigating this a little bit, like trying to like check myself and like, London, where is your confidence coming from right now? And I'm just telling you guys, it's coming from statistics and it's coming from facts and it's coming from what the CDC is saying and it's coming from singing the ABCs twice while washing my hands. And that's ridiculous. Like, but I'm just saying that's where I am. And that is something that is not, I'm telling you this to say like, it's not working for me. Like, it's not, because the second it changes, or the second, like today I have a runny nose, I'm starting to panic because my foundation isn't the Word of God. And so it has to be the Word of God. And one thing that has kind of helped me a little bit is like knowing where I connect with God. And for me, it's really hard for me. I've always struggled with reading comprehension. The reading the Bible is just tough for me. Like, I'm just saying that honestly, it's just hard. And I totally know, like, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Our foundation is the Word of God, but it's still just hard for me. I know that it's true, but it's just a struggle. And so I've had to kind of go outside of the box and say, okay, God, for London, where do I connect with God? How do I connect with God? For me, it's worship. I know that when I sit down, I play the piano, I sing, I feel the Lord, I feel peace. That's where I, you know, connect. Another thing that I know for me is I really, it helps me to like read through like the end times kind of, or like songs that talk about the like returning of Jesus, because it sets into perspective this life a little bit. And I'll be like, oh my gosh, I don't want to get sick. I don't want to die. I don't want to, I don't want to lose people. And then it's like, Jesus is coming, and like, he's coming anyway, and like, everything on this earth is temporary, and everything that you're going through is temporary, and like, when he comes, like, justice will reign forever. Like, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess he's Lord, and you're worried about like your cough. And it's just like, it kind of sets me into this like, get it together, because this life is not about you. Like, he's coming to rule and reign. Your life is to beckon his coming to rule and reign. And so it just kind of sets it into perspective. So all that to say, like, find what connects you to the Lord. If it's walking out in nature and thinking about his creation, if that sets a perspective in your mind of, wow, this is a way bigger picture than just me, then do that. I know for me, it's worship leading. I know for me, it's talking about him returning and all of this being gone anyway. So what does it matter? So I'm just sharing, like, as a family, where my struggle is, and this hasn't worked for me with statistics, and so we have to go to the Word of God. And I'm trying to get there. I really am. And our Emily even messaged me, was like, just have faith. And I was like, yeah, I know. I'm trying. And she was like, you'll get there. You'll get there. I'm like, I know. So I'm just sharing my journey. Maybe somebody else is dealing with it and it's encouraging. I don't know. But I didn't want to share, and I feel like the Lord was like, just share it. So
I just wanted to share something off of what London was saying, because we do have to look at some of the facts. I mean, I'm sitting in a household with, yeah, an 87-year-old man who has diminished lung capacity. My husband is an RN. There's realities. Like, I had to talk to my parents, like, there's a reality here. Let me put that in perspective. So, needless to say, I have to force myself to do exactly the same thing that London's doing. I have to force myself to look at the Father and to be filled with faith. So that's why I was saying the things I was saying, because I was really talking for myself more than everybody, but get ready. And I do want to add this. Americans are so used to trying to figure out the answer to the catastrophe. Like, we've got this covered. Like, we've probably got natural disasters fairly covered in America as far as how we respond and everything. But I think things are going to come down the pike, and this is one of them. It's really more the fear of the unknown. Like, but those kinds of things are going to, and that pulls the rug out from under us. And I do think that the Lord says, hey, pay attention. You know, we it drives us more towards him than when we think we've got it covered. But I just want to encourage, like, what London was saying about the word. I have found, like, we've probably been ingrained, read the word, read lots of the word, read the word, like, quantity. I really spend some time with the Lord, and it's just one sentence. And you know what? We all can comprehend one sentence. Put it before our eyes. Just don't be pressured that it's got to be this huge amount. It could just be small, and he makes it just great. His presence around that one verse is just huge.
Oh, sorry. You're fine. So this was something I heard when we were praying earlier. I just kept hearing, it's about what every joint supplies. It's about what every joint supplies. And so I wanted to share this at the very end, because Stacy did it, you know, when Joe was speaking, like, you know, there's the teacher, can you see this? But so this is that portion of scripture in Ephesians 4. It's talking about, you know, he gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And it's to build up the body of Christ. But you go down, it says, so as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by media frenzy, if we want to say it that way, and all this stuff. But we speak the truth in love, and we're to grow up into all aspects into him, who's the head. And it says that we are fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of the individual part. It causes the growth of the body and the building up ourselves in love. So it's a perfect, I love that, like London was saying, everybody had a different picture. You guys just saw that. We all have a different picture, a different perspective. But when we allow each other to come together, not isolate, not become an island unto ourselves, so I'm going to, you know, protect myself. But when we become this cohesive, our joints coming together, we will supply what our whole body needs. So I just encourage you to find, you know, like, let's start doing home groups. We're going to do home groups again, because there's something that happens, because we're bringing our part, and then we're supplying our part to that part, and their part supplying to my part, and it gives us the bigger and a fuller picture of Christ.
Okay, we really want to get it back into prayer and intercession. I know that this is stirring a lot of people's hearts.
We can see hands.
Because, yeah, people are beginning to identify and feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit. If it's something you can turn into a prayer, we're going to have time for prayer. Next week, we're going to try to do something where all of us can share things that God's telling us how we process and how we deal with this sort of thing. So pray about this thing and the things that are stirring your heart. I'm glad it's encouraging you in you, because that's what we wanted to happen. Yeah, let's have the worship team come on up.